This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 6, Episode 31, Kenyan Starlet Momentum. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, we talk about momentum, the idea of momentum and what it can mean to your team, whether you're a club or a school or an academy player. But we also get an email from a young Kenyan player who wants to improve himself but is having a few problems. We help him out, hopefully. And we also hear again from Elvis. We talk about leg spin, we talk about Shane Warne, and we talk about using the hips to generate more spin. All that and more coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. This is your guide to better cricket, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. And I can honestly say, this is probably my favourite half an hour or so of the week, just getting to talk about cricket with some very fine cricket coaches. My name, if you're not already sure, is David Hinchliffe, and I look after things here. And those two cricket coaches that I was talking about a moment ago are, first of all, the director of cricket coaching at Millfield School. It's Mark Garraway. Hello, Garras. Still on your summer holidays?
Yeah, but still, as Sam probably will be himself, still pretty busy with things and watching games and tracking people and how they're going and all of those sorts of things. So you never stop, really. But yeah, it's a summer holiday. So I've had a dog walk this morning with the little fella, Zach, and the dog, Rosie, which I wouldn't be able to do if I was working at school all of the time. So yeah, all good.
Yeah, it's a short season, isn't it? You know, you want to make sure when the sun's shining, you're getting something cricket, because when it comes to the depths of the winter, there's not much chance apart from doing anything except in a sports hall, is there?
We'll be soon into that mode, won't we?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well let's stay optimistic for the sunshine and talk to the other coach on the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, and that is the cricket professional at Portsmouth Grammar School. It's Sam Lavery. Hello, Lavers.
Hello there, David. How are you?
Very good, thanks. You are, of course, coaching at Burridge as well, so there's plenty of cricket going on for you there.
Yeah. We've got four teams and a Sunday ladies team as well. So there's lots going on with those guys, trying to keep up with everyone and keep an eye on where everyone is in their respective tables and hopefully get everyone through the season with a little bit of success.
Any silverware in the offing?
Third team, we've got a chance, although there's one team that looks particularly strong in there. It's a tough year this year because last season, for the first team had just made their first season into the Premier League last year, and then the second team, third team and fourth team were all promoted last year, so they're all kind of at a new level now. So silverware's not really been the main objective, more establishing ourselves at new levels in the respective teams.
Yeah, well, success doesn't, we often say, don't we, success isn't always, what the trophy is at the end of the season. Success is, you've got to measure success by something that you can achieve, and it's not always, winning every game and romping home to winning the league, is it?
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the season, some people could look at the club and see us finish middle to bottom half in all four teams. But for certain clubs and for us in this instance, especially with three of the sides, that would be a really pleasing result to see at the end of the season that we've established ourselves and we've got up to another level and we've maintained ourselves there. So yeah, I think all your goals have got to be set internally, and even though from the outside looking in things might not look like you're having a great year, you're at a level where you're being challenged, and that's what you want to do when you're playing cricket. You don't want an easy walk. You want to make sure you're challenging yourself and you're challenging those around you, and you're in a real contest.
You've always got the old stages hanging around, haven't you, who measure success purely by the league position, and they look at you out the corner of their eye if it's not top of the league. But that's what makes up the life of club cricket, doesn't it? You've got guys from all walks who have lots of different standards.
Yeah, I think you just remind them that if you're in eighth place in one division and you've just been promoted, you're actually minus second in the division below. So you're doing all right.
Yeah, it's a good way of looking at it. Speaking of success, one of the words I've heard a lot about recently, especially around the Ashes, is the word momentum. It's one of those buzzwords that we hear a lot in cricket. One team have got the momentum, another team have got the momentum. But I was thinking about this from the point of view of coaching or playing, and is momentum something that is actually, you know, we can use in the cricket games that we play and we coach, or is it one of those media terms that we hear about that's just, oh, one team's won a game, so therefore they've got the momentum, and it doesn't actually mean very much?
I think momentum's an interesting one, because to me, it's the important bit, particularly from a coaching perspective, is what sits underneath momentum. Because momentum's the result, isn't it? It's the result of people getting their processes right, people doing the basics right, ultimately. And I'm a great believer that if you do your basics right, then you will wrestle momentum, or, you know, the swing of the game, or whatever you want to call it, off of the opposition at some point, or certainly pressurise them for a period leading up to that happening. And then when things are going your way, and when things are seemingly the game is going your way, then it's important that you really make sure that those basics are respected and adhered to. And if you do that for enough of a time, then you will have this thing called momentum with you. And often with momentum comes the result. And equally, I also look at games of cricket and see when the momentum is with another team, or when the game is swinging towards another team. Often it takes either all of those basics to be put in place, or somebody to just do something that is out of this world. So I think back to 2005, which I've been playing on television a hell of a lot over the last over the last few weeks to keep the English spirits high. And I look back at Andrew Flintoff, and in that series, you know, everybody played their part in that series. But it's only when I look back retrospectively that I realise that Fred, off his own back, just took charge of two or three situations in that series that made a significant difference. And what he did was, on his own, wrestled that momentum back, and then everybody else galvanised around him, and then they put that momentum into a win as a collective. But Edgbaston, when he batted, and then bowling at that over that he got two wickets in on that evening, you know, he really changed the course of that game, and he wrestled back the momentum that was being built up by the Australian openers, brought that back into the fold of the England team, and then England ran with it. And then again at the Oval, Australia were, what was it, 300 or 270 for no wicket. Hayden and Langer going really well, and he bowled what I thought was the best spell that he ever bowled as an England player, and picked up a number of key wickets in a short space of time with the ball reversing, and nobody else could have done that. But as soon as he'd done that, that was the time where the Ashley Gileses, the Matthew Hoggards, the Steve Harmsons then galvanised around him, because he'd wrestled it back, and then it was their job to keep hold of it. So to me, it's about basics, but also it's about that key player just making a decision and doing something a bit different, because sometimes the momentum's so far away from you that it takes that superstar to really make that indent into it before the rest of us mere mortals can start doing our basics properly.
It's an interesting one from a coach's point of view, isn't it, Lavers? Because that kind of understanding when you can shift momentum, that there is a moment that can be had, is a very tough skill. It's very easy to see it in hindsight. You can say that's the moment that shifted the match, or that's the moment that shifted the season. But often at the time, you don't even realise it, and it might be, you know, a lot later before you realise it.
It's difficult when you're inside the bubble, isn't it? And you're inside that environment where you're engaged in performance, and often you can be very engaged whether you're playing or even coaching. But it is often one of those things that that does occur after the game, or maybe a couple of weeks down the line when you see how one game made a big shift to the season or to the performances that we're going to follow. So I think sometimes that's really important to have someone who can, within a performance, just look at the big picture and just try and remove themselves from the hype of the performance sometimes, and just understand what's going on a little bit. And also you need those people who are just going to completely throw themselves into it, because they're the ones who can do that genius thing that Gareth has talked about as well. So it's really, really important that you can have people who can switch personalities or switch roles within the side, where they can really invest everything they're doing in the moment, and also they can have the ability to step back and just identify what's going on around them at any time. But as coaches, we hopefully can play the latter role, where we can observe, and hopefully we can just help people by communicating at key moments and just giving a little bit of advice here and there. But it's difficult when it's so much heavily invested on what the players are doing, and ultimately it's the players that will win games. It's not us guys as coaches on the sidelines. So yeah, it's over to them.
I think our role as a coach really is to give them the understanding that momentum isn't something that they need to do anything special too often to be able to influence. So by doing your basics and doing your skills and repeating them over and over again, and when you have got your foot in the camp of the winning team, is to keep hold of that and to almost be more attentive when you've got the game going in your direction than you were when you were trying to wrestle that game back. And you see so many teams work so hard to get back into a game, and then once they're ahead of it, they almost take their foot off the gas, or they just relax a little bit too much, and all of a sudden they've got to start that whole rebuilding process again. So to me, once you've got it, that's the time where you have to be really attentive. That's the time where you need to talk to each other the most and make sure that everybody's on it. Because it only takes somebody to start bowling, you know, the ball wide outside off stump, not bowling to their field, somebody being asleep down at deep third man and a ball going under them. And all of a sudden, that all that work you've put into play is just evaporated in the space of no time. So once you've got it, to me, that's the time where you really need to make the difference. And that's what the good sides do. You know, when Australia and the times when we were playing against them, even in that 2005 series, when they got hold of it, it was blooming hard to get it back off of them. When we saw in 2006-07, once they got hold of it, we didn't have enough skills, we didn't have the right players to get that back. And it's just really, really hard. But they wouldn't let you get anywhere near it. You see the All Blacks in rugby, as soon as they get on it in that second half, don't they? Often that they go into the break, you know, 1 or 2 points down or only 1 or 2 points up. And then in that second half, they just get into their basics. They don't make a mistake for 40 minutes and they end up winning by, you know, 20, 30 points.
Yeah, it's a psychological thing more than anything, isn't it? And understanding where you are in the moment and understanding the bigger picture at the same time. It's all about the context around the execution of those skills. And as long as you're doing those things to the best that you can do them, then things are most of the time going to go your way. Unless you're really outclassed, but that does happen.
And it doesn't happen very often, does it, that?
No,
I've only experienced that over a period of time in that one occasion, which was the Australian series in 2006-07, where there was such a gulf between the two sides. But virtually every other contest that I've been involved in before and since, it's relatively close. You don't get one team being superhuman, the other one being novices. It doesn't work very often. That doesn't happen very often.
Okay, let's wrap up this section with a yes-no round. Three questions that can only be answered yes or no, no matter how much more the team want to say. I've got the questions, so let's fire away. First question. Professionals raise the standard of club cricket.
Yes.
Yes.
Second question. Train upwards.
Yes.
Yes.
Third question. Spend as much time learning outside cricket as inside cricket.
Yes.
At this point in the show, we answer your questions. They've been sent in by listeners to this very show or readers to the Pitch Vision Academy website. And we do our very best to answer the questions, but then however good or bad our answer happened to be this week, we always pick a winner, which is the best question of the week, and it wins a prize of an online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And you can send your questions in to us by emailing coach@pitchvision.com, and we have other ways to get in touch with us, which we'll tell you about at the end of the show. And we have a regular correspondent back again, Elvis. And Elvis has sent in his question. It was quite a long one, but I've cut it down a bit to try and save a bit of space. And hopefully we can get some good answers from the team on this one. And Elvis says, I'm interested to hear the thoughts of the panel on the hip drive and rotation and follow through of the back leg in a spinner. And which is better, to come straight through like Lyon, Cumbly and McGill, or to come more around like the King, Shane Warne, and lots of other spin bowlers? I'd also like to hear your opinions on stepping across and how much that affects the alignment and the actual delivery. Gareth, this is one of your areas that you've liked to discuss recently. So What do you think about spinners who step across more than keep their hips more open and bowl with their back leg through?
Well, I'm going to go into the step across thing first. If I look at somebody who's stepping across, the first thing I'm going to do is look at what the outcome is, because I work with Shane Warne and he stepped across and he was good.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's the best leg spin bowler in the history of the game. So, to me, it's not a case of one hat fits everybody, because the worst thing anybody could have done to Shane Warne would have been to have aligned him straight. Okay. And what Shane was able to do, he was able to use his body, because he's immensely strong. And, you know, not every leg spinner, I know people have tried to mould leg spinners on him for the last 20 years, but not very many of these leg spinners that we see have got the physicality or the competitiveness to drive through their action, even though they're blocked off, even though their feet aren't really helping them. But he had that. So, you know, that's the first thing I'd do. I'd watch somebody for a long period of time before I intervened. But if an intervention had to come into place, my preference would be for their feet to line up towards their target a little bit better, or actually to be even a little bit open. And the reason for that is because we want the hips to rotate and square up. That's where we want them to be. And if possible, we want the hips to rotate, square up, and maybe go a little bit beyond square as well. And if we get those feet like Shane Warne, you have to be immensely strong to be able to do that. Because your feet are actually going to block the rotation of your hips. So that's the first and foremost. In normal people, the feet will block the rotation of the hips. In terms of accuracy, obviously there's going to be some compromises if your feet are lined up in a different direction to the way that you're going to be trying to bowl a ball. But then again, people have compromised with their action to get the ball back online and done it very well over time. So again, you know, be really careful before you make an intervention and really stand back and have a look at it. But my, you know, if I was working with somebody from scratch and teaching them how to bowl leg spin and they'd not done it before, then my preference would be to ensure that the feet don't block off the hips, because the hips are so crucial in developing rotation of a body, which in turn is going to put different revolutions on the ball, different degrees of revolutions on the ball. So that would be my starting point with somebody from scratch. But as I say, you've got to look at everybody as an individual, because if somebody had a straight and Shane Warne up, I'm not sure he'd have got as many wickets as he did, or played the game for as long as he did, or be commentating for as long as he's going to be.
It's an interesting development recently, isn't it, in cricket coaching, that what works for most people used to be said that it works for everybody, and now what works for most people is not always the case for everybody, and you have to take it a lot more on a case-by-case basis, even if you think that maybe 80% of the time this particular thing is going to work for people. You've got to remember those 20% as well.
Yeah, I think that the more you see people who probably are a little bit away from the norm and you see them excelling in first class or international cricket, the more you've got to have that awareness and understanding that maybe what we've been brought up on, or the rules, or the coaching manual, as people talk about, is one way, but it's not the only way. And one thing we do know about cricket is that everyone who plays it is slightly different. So if they're all slightly different and they're all different shapes and sizes, then there's going to be a slight adjustment to the way they can actually perform things. So as long as we can keep that in our mind, then we've got a good chance that we can work with those people more personally, rather than just kind of giving a blanket answer that if you want to bowl spin, you must do this. If you want to bowl fast, you must do that. Which is often just the easy way out, really, and just sort of pushing some information at a person, saying this is how it must be done. And ultimately, there are more options as we're finding more and more and more. I think in the spin bowling instance, Gara's absolutely spot on there. That if you're blocking yourself off with your front foot there, you do need that body and upper body strength and flexibility as well to be able to bowl from that slightly closed off position. I think something that we're finding more and more now is that an optimal position for spin bowling is moving slightly away from being completely sideways on and is moving more into a midway position where you can gain more rotational power. So you can accelerate through that rotation a little bit quicker if you're from coming from a midway position as opposed to coming from a sideways on position. And some people will not like the idea of that, very much in the same way that a number of years ago some people have said everyone must bowl sideways on as fast bowlers as well. But it doesn't mean that if you're sideways on you can't still be extremely successful, and it doesn't mean if you're front on or whatever it might be that you can't still have an element of success. But yeah, our job as coaches is more and more is working with individuals rather than reading from a book.
The crucial thing with the hips, and going back to the original question, is that they can rotate, slow and stabilise and stop, basically. So rotate, stop and stabilise. And once they slow, stop and stabilise, then the momentum of the kinetic chain fires up into the next big shoulder girdle, or next big girdle, which is the shoulders. And then those shoulders will square up, slow, stop, stabilise, and then all of the momentum will go up through the arm into the hand. And obviously the more of that momentum that we transfer up effectively into the wrist and into the fingers, the more that the ball will end up rotating. That's the simple process of it. If we block our legs, our feet off at the bottom, then we're kind of likely to compromise that, unless we've got something that enables us to sort of cope with that compromise. And in Shane Warne, he had physicality to cope with that. Also, the slight blocking off of his feet did enable him to get the ball to go into areas that hadn't necessarily been exploited by leg spinners up until that point. So a leg spinner had generally tried to pitch the ball around off stump to miss the stumps, and all of a sudden Shane Warne was bowling balls to pitch in the skyline and even outside the skyline from outside leg stump to hit the top of the stumps and the edge of a bat. So it helped him in that regard from an accuracy alignment perspective. But you know, he was different, and he was able to his physicality was able to get him out of the trouble that his feet got into. Saying that, his knee injuries all came from the fact that he was blocked off. So throughout his 20 odd year career, he was plagued with knee injuries, particularly in his front knee, where that shearing effect, as he was putting all of that force trying to get the ball back online, he was shearing away at his knee. And you know, I remember his first year with Hampshire, he virtually bowled off one leg for the second half of the season because his knee was in absolute bits, and that all came from that slight blocking off. So you know, we've got to be aware from an injury perspective that there are going to be compromises. But I am not somebody who would have necessarily straight away wanted to change Shane Warne, because his however many test wickets he got was pretty impressive. He got about 600 against England, so he did all right.
And props to Elvis, by the way, for you know, experimenting with these things and really taking, you know, taking that those ideas that he's seen other people do and coming up with things and trying things for himself, because that's the way you're going to get better, isn't it? To try things and see what happens when, you know, see how the ball comes out when you try these different ways of doing it. Next question is from Cavi. Cavi says, I'm 17 years old and I recently debuted for the Kenyan team. And even though we didn't do very well, I was the highest run getter in the series. Personally, I feel that my cricket is not developing to where I'd like it to be, mainly due to the fact that we don't have very good facilities, nor do we have a very good training regime. What do you suggest for a player in my position? So I guess this is a story that we hear a lot in nations where cricket hasn't traditionally been the number one sport.
Well, I think the advice that I would give, and I'm going to keep it really short, and then Sam can come in, and then I can come back in at the end maybe, but it's the same advice that I heard repeated at Sportfest over the last few days that we've had, a two-day coaching festival and sports festival, where there was probably the biggest gathering of international sportsmen outside of an Olympiad. It was amazing. But what we all said at the end is that you've got to take control of your own destiny. And I think you've made the first steps here in getting in touch with us. And probably the precursor for that is you looking online and seeing some stuff that you quite liked and then asking some follow-up questions. But I read Graham Gooch's article not long ago, who said, you know, don't wait for somebody else to do stuff for you. You are in charge of your own destiny. So to me, find out what you think you need to be doing. Do loads of research. Use Pitch Vision resources that we've got available on the site. Get on the internet as best you can and find out information and work out what your path is. And you dig your own trench really and go for it. That would be the biggest bit of advice. Don't let the lack of facilities, the lack of resources in Kenya hold you back. There's a guy who I played cricket against in South Africa, Steve Ticolo, who's a Kenyan, who had a fantastic first-class career in South Africa, played hundreds of times for Kenya, probably the best player to come out of Kenya over the last 20 years. And I'm sure that he didn't let these little hurdles get in the way, and I don't think you're going to either. So, you know, find your own way, really. You know, practice up against a wall, use whatever resources you can better, see everything as an opportunity, and I'm sure that you'll get there. And you sound like you're well on the way by asking the right sort of questions to us.
You do get, don't you, Lavis? You do get people who have a different mindset. You know, the people who think to themselves, you know, I can make my own opportunities here and I can make my own chances. And then you get people who more think of the lines on, as soon as I get my chance, I'll be able to prove myself. And that's that. There is a difference between those two states of mind, isn't there?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I have a couple of examples, actually, that I'll come to in a minute. But it does just take one person to stand up and say, like, I'm going to be a leader. And it may be that you're just being a leader of yourself and you're not resting in your laurels. But you have to take control of your own destiny and your own future. And I've one example I'll just come to now is I've spent the last week with a young cricketer from Ireland who I've known for a few years who did exactly that. He's based an hour and a half southwest of Dublin. His local cricket club, which he played for growing up when he was quite young, was 45 minutes away, and then he kind of outgrew that, and his current cricket club is 2.5 hours away. And he still trains twice a week and plays on Saturdays. And nothing was really handed to him on a plate. He didn't have any local coaching opportunities. He didn't have any local cricket facility. The nearest one is north of Dublin for him. That's the easiest one to get to. And he lives an hour and a half south. So he kind of has to make the best of what he's got. But in doing that, he's become extremely focused, extremely dedicated. And he's given... He's completely taken control of his own regime, and he's gone and sought advice. He's looked for people who can help him with ideas for how he can develop his bowling, how he can develop his strength and conditioning routines, how he can adapt technically when he has little issues, and how he can get himself around other good cricketers who can give him good advice and give him good learning experiences as well. And in doing that, he's found himself in the Ireland under 17 squad, and now he's had a winter in the under 19 squad, and hopefully he'll be playing for the national 19 squad this year. But that's a really good example of someone who has had very few things handed to a plate on him, but he's taken control and said, look, this is something I really want to do. It sounds to me as if Cavi's in a similar situation where the game isn't going to be handed to him on a plate, but he's going out looking for advice. He's going out looking for opportunities, and he's taking control. And that's the first step in making a bit of contact with someone like ourselves or whoever else it may be. But he's the first step on the path. Just on the other side of things, I work with a young cricketer who I won't mention the name, but he's almost a little bit the other way around. And we talked about developing fitness and how he needs to add that to his game, because he's a very, very talented batsman. But as an athlete, he's lagging behind a little bit. And his attitude towards it is, once I make the West of England side, I'll then get fit. And just hearing that, it immediately sounds like he's just got things the wrong way around. And you need to give yourself every opportunity to do things and give yourself every opportunity to succeed. And by waiting for something to happen before you are proactive and make a change in your own life and your own cricket and your own performances, you're probably not going to succeed, because you're first of all, you're wasting days, you're getting into worse habits, but also you're putting your success on someone else, and you're relying on someone else to make a decision on you, be it right or wrong, before you actually make a change and start progressing. So, yeah, there's a couple of examples there of one who's got it absolutely right and one who's probably got the wrong end of the stick at the moment. But he's young and he's hopefully got an opportunity where he can change it, and he's aware that there's a better way to do it. But with Cavi, yeah, sounds like it's not going to be the easy route that some people get through, but he's obviously done very well and had a good amount of success already. So keep doing what you are doing and keep seeking out opportunities and areas where you can squeeze out another 2, 3, 4% of different things.
At this point in the show, we do the soapbox. Now, the soapbox is a virtual place for one of the members of the team to stand and rant about anything they want for 60 seconds without being interrupted. This week it's Sam Lavery. So, Lavers, when you're ready, over to you.
Well, something I've seen discussed a little bit lately has been the idea of matches being outcome-based or based on development. And that's something we talk a lot about with the guys we have at school, where sometimes we're really focused on the result and sometimes we're focused more on getting processes right. And that's really, really good way to kind of do things in a school environment. But when you get into a club environment or a high-performance environment, that can get a little bit trickier. Because most games you play are league-based and the outcome contributes towards the end of the season, etc., etc. However, at this stage of the season, we're probably starting to see three or four teams, maybe five in each division, where there's actually an opportunity that they're not going one way, they're not going the other way. Promotion and relegation are out of the question. So it's a great opportunity now to start being a little bit more creative with selection, a little bit more creative with decision-making and tactics and planning. So why not use the next 4 or 5 weeks through to the end of the season just to learn a little bit about yourself, learn a little bit about players and prepare a little bit more for next season and the winter ahead.
And that is the end of another show, another week, another 30 minutes of Cricket Chat has come to an end. But before we go, we are going to pick the winner of this week's competition. That is the prize of the online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And we had Elvis's question about hip drive and rotation and follow through in leg spin. And we had Cavi's question about developing your cricket when you feel like the facilities and the coaching aren't quite up to the scratch that you want them to be. Which one did you prefer this week, Gareth?
Well, I'm going to go for Cavi's because it's lovely to hear about somebody who's had a lot of success already. He's played for Kenya under-17s, done well for Kenya under-17s,
yeah.
But sees hurdles and wants to get over them. So, Cavi, you're the winner this week, mate.
Well, and Cavi, hopefully that will give you access to resources that you didn't necessarily have before, and maybe it'll push you onwards and upwards in that Kenyan team. And Gareth, if someone else was listening to this and they wanted their question answered and they also wanted the chance to win the prize of the online coaching course, how could they get in touch with us?
They could give us a call on 0203 239 7543 or drop us an email at coach@pitchvision.com.
That's correct. We are also available on social media. Pitch Vision Acad is where we hang out on Twitter. And if you're on Facebook, and who isn't, then you can go to facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy and click on that like button and join in all the fun there, all the discussion and all the articles and all the information and the videos coming up on that page regularly. You're also welcome to subscribe to this show, and you can do that very easily by getting your favourite podcast app on your favourite device, doing a search for Pitch Vision Academy, and you'll find us in there and just tap on that subscribe button to get us every week. And if you want to listen to us in any other way, including streaming the show through the web player that we have, then you can go to pitchvision.com/academy and click on the podcast link at the top, and you will have access to all the old shows alongside the show notes and all the information on how to subscribe again if you missed it the first time round. And you can just join in on all the action there as well. And that's all for this week. We hope you listen next week, but until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Lavis.
Cheers, fellas.
Cheers, guys.